Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
By and by, with a
Good morning and welcome to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you enjoyed that song. That is off Greater Vision's brand new album, Go Out to the Program. The song title, Far Above the Starry Sky. Beautiful song. Thank you for your support of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. If you know anything about the radio program, you know that we depend upon the listening audience to keep us on this radio station. And I want to just say thanks to those who do take the time to write us a letter and send a gift of support so that we can stay on the radio program or the radio station. And also, as many of you know, we've been on the radio for 88 years, since 1937. That's hard to believe. That sounds like 87, but we're into our 88th year. And I do hope that you will continue to pray for us as we're involved in revival meetings during this month of November. As a matter of fact, this first weekend of November, I'll be speaking at Mackey, Church of the Nazarene in Mackey, Indiana. And then I will travel to Buffalo, Kentucky, to the Church of the Nazarene. That's November 7, 8, and 9 for revival services. And then back home to Indiana, November 14, 15, and 16 at Sunman, Indiana, at the First Southern Baptist Church. And then November the 23rd, I'll be at Bell Fountain, Ohio, at the First Church of God, and finish out our ministry year here in the month of November, speaking at Flintwood Wesleyan Church in Columbus for the first Sunday of Advent. So I do covet your prayers as I travel to these various locations preaching the Word of God. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for the way folks pray for us, for their gifts that keep us on the radio. And I thank you for your blessings in our lives. We can't even begin to number them, and I am grateful for them. Thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the covering that it provides for our sins. And we're also grateful for the fact that not only can you take away our sins, you can cleanse our hearts, and we can live a life that's holy and above spiritual reproach. Thank you for that. Be with those who are shut in, those churches who gather, and those pastors who preach. Give fresh anointing, I pray. I ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, this is a five-Sunday month, and I hope that you will just take a few moments to write us that letter. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201.
Let the ancient words impart. ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts, oh let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts, oh let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts, oh let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts, oh let the ancient words impart. We have come with open hearts, oh let the ancient words impart.
In his book From Tablet to Table, Dr. Leonard Sweet made the observation that there are still religious groups who gather together to keep their story alive. He coined a phrase in the book, and the phrase is simply storied identity. Storied identity. And he goes on in the book to relate that the Amish people, and you know who the Amish people are, you've seen them drive their buggies down the side of the road. You've been in those communities where there is no electricity and they plant and harvest their crops using these large horses to do it all. And they're a unique group of people. But the Old Order Amish, they carry on their story in a very unique way. They have a very strict form of Christianity. And they will meet around the table and they will share their story around the table. And they will present what they call nuckfulge, which simply means devotions, following after Jesus Christ. They actually keep 95% of their young people in the community. Even when they allow those young people as adolescents to go off and leave the community and do what they call rumspringa, which means running around, they try out the world. They try out our communities and our society. But they believe that their story is so strong that those young people will return home. They will even set their place at the dinner table. Might even put food on the plate. Believing that their story is so strong, their identity is so unique, that those young people will come back. Storied identity. There is another culture that does something similar. Our Jewish friends, every spring of the year, they will have what they call the Seder meal. And in that Seder meal, they will tell their story. But they don't do it with words. They do it with the elements of the meal. Six elements of the meal are used to tell the story of Moses and the children of Israel. And they ask those children to challenge the story, to investigate the story. But they believe, as they share the story through that Seder meal, that even though it might be challenged by their young people, the story itself is strong enough to stand the test. Storied identity. We're part of a story. If you know Jesus Christ, you identified with Him. And your journey with Him began at some point in time, and you began your own unique story and relationship with Jesus Christ. The children of Israel, their journey toward wholeness began in Egypt. And the first six chapters of the book of Deuteronomy recounts Israel's pilgrimage from Egypt all the way to Canaan, the promised land. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 20, we discover that Moses is reminding the children of Israel of their story, of who they are. And in essence, he is telling them, it is essential that you forget who, that you not forget who you are. You've got to remember your identity. He's emphatic about keeping the story fresh in their minds. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 20. He's speaking, in the future when your sons ask you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God commanded you? Tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders great and terrible on Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. Verse 23. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us this land. The promise was made on oath to our ancestors. The Lord commanded us to obey all the decrees and to fear the Lord our God so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey the law before the Lord our God, as he commanded us, that will be our righteousness. The focus verse for us this morning is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning with verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. In the fall of 2014, I was invited to conduct a weekend homecoming revival in Coleman, Alabama. I arrived there on Friday, and we had that first service on Friday night. And after the service was over, the pastor, I'd worked with him before, he said, hey, Lane, where do you want to go have supper tonight? And I said, well, there's a Cracker Barrel just down the street. Why don't we go there? And so with his three sons in tow, Dylan Jackson and little Luke, Scott Sessions and I made our way down to the Cracker Barrel. We waited for a while to get our table, and when we were once seated, one of those young men looked at me and said, hey, Pastor Lane, what's your favorite soft drink? I said, you probably never heard of it. Cheer wine. And they looked at me with a question mark expression. I said, as a matter of fact, I think Cracker Barrel carries it. You know they do. I mean, you can go into Cracker Barrel and you can see all of those old-fashioned bottles of soft drinks that they have on the shelf. And some of them are even put into this cooler right there around the cash register. I said, I'll be right back. And so I went out there and I looked in that cooler full of ice, and there were selected bottles of these old sodas, and there was a cheer wine in ice in that cooler. And so I pulled it out, told the lady, we'll pay for this when we check out, and went back to the table with that bottle of cheer wine. I opened it and I poured samplings of it into the glasses of those three young men. They ranged in ages from maybe 12 down to age 4. Luke was 4. The older boys didn't care that much for it. It's really a heavy-duty cherry cola. I don't want the name of the drink to alarm any of you. Cheer wine, that refers to the color. It's a soft drink, heavy on the cherry. When I poured that sampling into Luke's glass, he lit up like a Christmas tree. He said, man, that is so good. So I poured some more into his glass. And he became an instant fan of cheer wine. After we'd finished our meal, we were making our way out of the restaurant area of the Cracker Barrel. And I looked up there on the shelf, and there was a 4-pack of cheer wine. So I pulled it off the shelf, and I paid for it, and I gave it to Luke. And he's walking out of the Cracker Barrel store. His dad's got his hand over here, and he's carrying the cheer wine over here, and he stopped his dad right as they walked out of the door of that Cracker Barrel restaurant, and he looked up at his father and he said, hey dad, 4 years old, why hadn't anybody told me about cheer wine before today? He's become my cheer wine drinking buddy. I send him a case of cheer wine every Christmas. I got a call from him not too long ago. He's now 14 years old. He said, he calls me not Pastor Lane or Brother Loman, he just calls me Lane Loman. He says, Lane Loman, I've accepted the call to preach. I said, that's wonderful, Luke. Anything I can ever do for you, let me know. And I've seen that young man grow in his faith in Jesus Christ from the time he was 4 years old up to right now. Have you ever met anybody like that who is so excited about something, they just can't contain it? They've just identified with it and they love it. Well, that's the way it's supposed to be in our relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, when you meet him, what he can do for you, what he can do in you, how he can manage your life, it's just amazing what Christ can do for us. When a person has discovered what Jesus Christ can do and they've really been changed, it just alters who they are. It alters the way they talk, the way they live their lives. A new identity has been born. Their journey has started. For the Israelites, what was originally supposed to take 2 years took an additional 38 years to gain the promised land. And if you know the story, Moses is now telling them. He says, now I want you to remember this. It's that key verse there in the passage in verse 23. And it's the purpose statement of the message of this morning. It says, but he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land promised on oath to our ancestors. He brought us out to bring us in. I believe that purpose statement for Israel is very relevant to us here in this service this morning. He brought us out to bring us in. You might say, well, ain't he brought us out of what? To bring us into what? He brought us out of sin to bring us into an intimate relationship with himself. He brought us out of sin to bring us into an intimate relationship with him. And I wonder how many of you have had that significant encounter with Jesus Christ where you can say without any question whatsoever, he's brought me out of sin. I know he set my feet on a solid rock. I know that I've been liberated from the power of sin in my life. He brought us out of sin to bring us into relationship with him, an intimate relationship with him, not to just rubber stamp our ticket to heaven. He brought us out of sin so that we might know him at the very deepest level possible. Can you point to that moment in time when your life was altered by the grace of God? Just a question. And it changed the course of your life. A new identity began. You no longer identified with the world. You no longer identified with this culture. You identified with Jesus Christ. I remember when that happened in my life. I was a teenager, 17 years old. I'd gone to camp meeting with my mother and father up in the state of Ohio. Dad was an evangelist. And so I traveled with mother and dad to those camp meetings during the summer months. And I remember my 17th year, I went to this camp meeting just outside of Wadsworth, Ohio. And I didn't go to the camp meetings for the spiritual benefit that I could derive from them. Oh, no. I went to those camp meetings for one reason and one reason alone. To meet the girls. And I remember when I arrived at that camp meeting, Camp Sharon, Wadsworth, Ohio, I tried to take stock of the possibilities. I settled on a young lady from Cahoga Falls, Ohio. Kathy Haught was her name, flaming red hair, beautiful smile. I asked her if she would be my date for the evening services, and she agreed. Sitting on the very back of that, or in the very back of that tabernacle with the rest of the young people, July the 4th, 1963. My dad was doing the preaching, and as my dad began to preach his sermon that night, my dad was a high-energy, rapid-fire kind of a preacher. The Holy Spirit began to walk up and down those aisles of that old rustic tabernacle, and he turned in that old wooden bench where I was sitting, and he whispered in my ear, and he said, hey, Lane, you're not going to make it to heaven because your dad's doing the preaching. You're not going to make it to heaven because your mother is an incredible prayer warrior. The only way you're going to make it to heaven is if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I knew what I had to do that night. I'd grown up in the church. I had heard it all of my life, but I'd never really taken it seriously and done something about it. And when the Holy Spirit drew on my heart, convicted me that night, when the invitation time came, I stepped to the nearest aisle, and I came down, I knelt, my dad came down, prayed with me, and that night, my life changed. And if there's not been a real change, then you have to question whether or not you've really met him.
Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and Trinity Church in Salisbury. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.